Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Now, one of the things that you got to understand, too, is that the Eagles are really tough against opposing tight ends. They allow just 5.7 yards per target to the position, which is fourth best in the league. But I say, you know what? Max, I think Freiermuth is able to compete with that. I think he's able to route run against anybody they want to put against him, and I think he's going to win his majority and share of the battles. But I would even say not just share, but the majority of the battles, because I think this guy is good enough. And one of the things that Kenny has shown is his ability to throw between the numbers. You know, he was 10-12 against Miami, and I think, in my mind, that's going to be one of the areas that they're going to have to make sure that they come out a winner on.
Well, you have to come out throwing and showing that you're not cutting off any part of the field, right, Wolf?
Absolutely.
I think that's the biggest thing. Let them know, hey, the full menu is out at the buffet, right?
Yeah.
Every station is accounted for, and we're not cutting out the carving station, okay?
You know what? You just spoke the language of love when you start talking carving stations in the full buffet. I love it.
Like I said, it's all about correlations and relations, right? You know, we're just trying to make sure that we keep everybody understanding what we're talking about. We don't get too technical,
right,
to where we get down to the minutia. I mean, we will break that down if we do get into those modes. But sometimes it's just that easy, right, Wolf? I mean,
it is.
You know, you think about it, a salad bar, carving station, hot foods, right, the little dessert station with the ice cream, soft serve machine. You know, you can visualize that. And I think that's the four different quadrants of the field, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you have numbers to sideline on the left. Then, of course, you have hash to numbers. And then you have hash to numbers on the opposite side. And then, of course, the numbers to sideline on the opposite side. And that middle area is kind of halfsies of all of those.
Yeah.
And you kind of break it into those quadrants. And you know that, okay, some teams just don't like to throw down the middle. You know, they just have an aversion to it. They want to stay numbers to outside. They want to keep it short. They want to keep it safe, because what is down the middle? A lot more bodies.
Right.
A lot more hands. So, and think about last night, Wolf. I don't know if you caught any of that Baltimore-Tampa Bay game.
Just the last part. I got back late.
Okay, perfect. Remember Matabuke was batting down passes, right? Him,
yeah,
and Travis Jones, they batted down passes from Tom Beatty trying to throw across the middle. So that's why, you know, a lot of quarterbacks, if you don't have the right height or you can't judge the depth perception to put the loft on the ball, because it's also dangerous when you put loft, right? Because more guys can converge.
No question.
You stay away from it. You stay away from that area. So I think that's where you have to show the Philadelphia Eagles early, hey, we're going to use all aspects of the field. So you can't start to key in. You can't start to play a little bit more press if we're running a lot more outs, right? You know, from the outside receiver position or the ISO position of a receiver by himself, you know, on one side of the ball or one side of the line, because they're all on the same side of the ball.
Yes.
On one side of the line, left or right, then you want to make sure that they can't do that, that they have to kind of stay a little soft, because you're not just going to run the out. Sometimes you're going to run the quick slant. Sometimes you're going to run a little comeback route or a curl. And you want to utilize those, as well as using those same things in the middle of the field. When you have the two power forwards in the middle of the field in Pat Freiermuth and Zach Gentry.
Yes.
And then, of course, running some slant stuff, you know, across some drags and some different concepts there with either Deontay or Gunner in there on a couple of occasions. All of that has to be available because you're going to need all hands on deck to combat this Philadelphia offense that's on the other side. As a Steelers offense, you must be willing to, A, consume time off the clock, and then, B, you must also be willing to score points and able to score points. That's the other part. Between the 20s and 20s, we've seen Kenny Pickett's going to do great, right? He can sustain drives. He can keep you in it, but it's going to be the critical red zone area. That's where we're going to have to get better, and that's where Kenny's going to have to grow as a passer as well, that if you see the window, throw the window. You know, you can't hesitate on it.
I'm sorry. You can't convince me this kid is not capable of that. And I'm not talking about you, but anybody. Because when you see that fourth and six, and when you watch how he laced that over the middle of Freiermuth, and that was no window, and it was a window. Okay? It was just one of those things. It was worse than a windmill in miniature golf, you know, where the windmill comes around.
Yeah.
And you got to time that thing up, and you can't. I mean, that's how fast the window disappeared there. And yet, having the cool, calm ability to sit there on a fourth and six as a rookie and deliver the mail 21 yards down the field when he could have gone shorter on either side of him with Deontay or Pickens, okay, to me that says he's going to get it. That's a growth throw there. That's a courage throw there, and that's one that I think you look around and you say, okay, there's not a lot of guys that make that throw as a rookie and hold that ball and go down the field, down the middle like that, when they had complementary, easier throws to make.
You're absolutely right. And I think that's something that's just going to come with experience for Kenny. You know, but at the end of the day, you still have to look at where is that red zone production as it stands.
Right.
You know, we have future value in that, and I think he will grow into that. And we're trying to speed up the incubator. You know, turn the heat up a little bit.
Yeah,
No, we're not going to fry the egg. We're not going hard-boiled. No, he's going to hatch. I swear. I swear it.
Yeah, don't overdo it. Don't cook it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Don't cook the egg. We're trying to birth the egg, okay? It's different. So, I feel like it is, but like you said last week, two critical throws. Either one of those, if the receiver catches them, that wins the game. But those ended up in the hands of the opposition. And so that's where I say there has to be a growth there, right?
Right.
And
let's
and
remember,
there has
too.
To be a decision making, yeah.
Yeah. The Deontay one, or I'm sorry, the Iggy one with Deontay, that's going to work out, okay? Because they're going to get their communication there, that aspect. The other one with Chase Claypool, that's pass interference all the way. I don't care what anybody says. That's pass interference.
Yeah.
You can't.
No,
you're
right.
You know, okay. So just going on that area. My point, I guess, is these safeties are good. These safeties are complementary to those corners. You know, you've really laid out some good stuff about them. Putting them in conflict is going to be one of the things that I think if they're able to do that, I think you've got a good chance to be able to, you know, come out with a win. You're going to have to be able to get down the field, down the middle, and put these guys in conflict where they're, you know, the routes are run and in such a way as to make them decide, do I go here, do I go there? I mean, to put it as plainly as I can put it, okay? I'm not of the superficial mind. I don't know all the terminology. I just kind of go with what, you know, from my era and what I see. And that's the biggest thing, is being able to put these guys in a conflicting mode, which is going to be hard, especially when it's just when they run a lot of man.
Yeah, no, it is, and that's where you kind of have to do things to take them out of their comfort zone.
Yeah,
right. They want to be man, and they want to bring four man rush. Well, how do you do that? How do you break them out of that if they feel like they can play a base concept? It's like we talked about. Utilizing your tight ends in the middle of the field,
yes.
Realizing you need more help. So, therefore, you have to back guys off and play more zone. Offensive line, blocking up front, hitting the double teams in the run game forces them to have to add blitz, right? Green dog, as we call it.
Right.
That guy, you know, that linebacker is going to have to come off his key of his man responsibility to put pressure on the quarterback. Like, all of these are little incremental things that you must do to get them out of that comfort zone. Because if they're cooking with what they normally do, guess what? You're getting a number one. you know, and a number one at Mickey D's is the same anywhere in the world. Trust me, I've looked. Some Big Mac fries and a Coke. You know what I'm saying? So
I got you.
So you got to take you got to go for the number seven. You got to force them to get the number seven. We're out of number ones. Guess what? We don't have that little middle bun for the Big Mac. So sorry. We could go double quarter pounder if you really need two patties, but you're not getting the Big Mac. You can still get the fries and the Coke. So that's what you got to do. You got to take them outside of that comfort zone and force them to go elsewhere. And when you do that, I think that's when you've seen other teams, right, be able to press them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, nobody's beaten them because you can't hold the press long enough. But that's when you talk about, like, they come out so quick scoring and just shutting things down. And then when teams kind of figure them out, then they back off on their heels, and that's when you see the zones, and that's when you see some of the big plays that happen.
Right.
Because they're not immune to big plays. Big plays have been had on them. Other teams do score. You know, Justin Jefferson week two and that Viking squad took them to the hilt, you know, early on, and then afterwards it was just they sped away. But that game, I look at the Dallas game even. Like, Dallas was coming back on them with Cooper Rush.
Mm-hmm.
And that squad, and I think we can do similar things. It's just you have to get off to a fast start,
you've got to
press the issue in the middle of the field to force them to loosen up, and then that's when it'll become a better thing. But like you said, that's the defensive part of it, Wolf. And I think I got a little excitable on that one.
That's okay. We're getting excited. Okay, that's what it's all about. You know what I mean? Because the enthusiasm of a player is self-generated, and that's something we both share. You don't get emotional. You get enthusiastic about it, and that's what fires and gives you that inner fire to be able to get the job done. And then you do the same thing in the broadcasting. I can't help but be, you know, enthusiastic about it. My gosh, it's the greatest job in the world. You know, be able to, you're watching the game and you're not getting beat up. It's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Once again, was it sideline non-combatant?
Yeah, sideline non-combatant. That's a technical term.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you've been for so long. Now you've gone to the safety of being on top of the hill.
The booth,
you know,
yep,
like most captains and generals do, and then you know, I'm a foot soldier, you know, I'm not, and see, I used to be a soldier, now I'm like the little drummer boy with the silent drum, because obviously the team can't hear me, but all of our fans can.
I think you're way above that one, buddy.
Okay, flag bearer. All right, I'll take it. Flag bearer.
I like sideline non-combatant. You know.
Okay,
I mean?
There we go. There we go.
That works.
But Wolf, I do. You know, I know we only have like 3 minutes left in this segment.
Shall we move on to the offense after a break?
I think we should say that we're going to move on to the offense and then take a break.
There you go. There you go.
You know, I think that's the best way. So, yes, we're going to step aside right now. But when we come back, it's offense time. That's right. It's high octane. We got Kenny Pickett. You've already heard us start talking about Pat Freiermuth and Zach Gentry and George Pickens and Chase Claypools and the Deontays of the world. We're going to now break it all down, and we're going to take it down section by section, group by group, and tell you what needs to happen for the Steelers to secure a victory in the city of brotherly love when we come back here in the Locker Room on SNR and ESPN Radio.
In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
We're just not getting it. We're just not quite there. And I'll continue to say it until this is going to be a tremendous offense. We got great talent. We got to get balls down the field to them. We got to block a little better. We got to get our run game. Our run game efficiency is coming. But it's not enough, right? It's still in those threes instead of those 4.5 or 5 yard averages, because we got to get a few more of those bigger plays. Last week we had a couple. So we're going to keep working at it. We haven't found it yet. We haven't found the execution. We haven't got on tape what we want to see yet.
All right, that was Steelers offense coordinator Matt Canada talking about the offense and, you know, the direction that they're going. It's in the right direction, but they need a sharper increase, right? I think that's kind of the main gist of it, is that it's just one little thing here and there We have the pieces. We have the personnel. It's about the execution. And that's what we've – I think that's a fair assessment, Wolf, don't you think?
I do. You know, there's no question in my mind. I really believe this offense is – this is kind of like that it's a reversal of the old saying, you know, that pressure bursts pipes. Because I think at some point in time, the pressure builds up so much that the offense bursts out, is what I'm trying to say. Yeah. I think, you know, you raise that floor, you get everybody keep working, and eventually this thing pops. Now, I'm hoping it pops this weekend, obviously. We all do. You know, I mean, you watch Kenny, you watch this offensive line and continue evolvement. You hope and pray that you can put it all together, because when it does happen, it's going to be something, I think, really good. You got too many spectacular performers on that offense that you can't hold them down forever.
No, you're absolutely right. And you know, here, fascinating nugget before we start on actually breaking down this offense.
I love fascinating nuggets, even above chicken nuggets.
You know what? Yeah, I'm right there with you, but of course not as big a nugget as a gold nugget.
Oh, that's true. Okay, good.
That is true, but it falls right in between chicken nugget and gold nugget.
Only said by a man who lives in the shadow of Superstition Mountain down there, right?
Yeah,
the old Dutchman, huh?
That's right, lost Dutchman mine, man.
Yeah,
still
baby.
Still trying to look for it. Still lost. if I find it, you'll never know, except for the fact that I won't be on radio anymore.
You'll be signing my checks. There you go.
Yeah, exactly. Max, you there? Max, no. Is there something with the connection? No. Oh, he just doesn't have a Comrex anymore. Okay. Oh, he's getting it gold plated. Okay, gotcha. But the interesting nugget is, so in NFL history, since, what was it, 2000, rookie quarterbacks going up against undefeated teams that are 6-0 or better are 3-15 going up against an undefeated team.
Say that again now. Whoa.
Starting quarterbacks that are rookies going up against an opposing team who's undefeated, meaning 6-0 or better, when they faced said team, those rookie quarterbacks are 3 wins and 15 losses. So the 18 occasions that's happened.
So it's kind of like, was it Dumb and Dumber when Jim Carrey says to the girl, the chances of, getting to marry her, like, one in a million. And he's like, so there's a chance.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
That's right.
Score. But here's the thing that's going to make that a lot more feasible, Lloyd Christmas, is that two of those 3 wins occurred with a certain quarterback of a certain team in a Western PA town.
Oh, so that'd be Big Ben, huh?
Yes, Big Ben Roethlisberger.
Boom,
two for two
today. Swinging the bat, Louisville slugger.
Or T-ball, you know?
T-ball,
set it right up there on the little plate extension with the pole, and just the ball stays steady. All you have to do is just hit it. So Ben owns two of those victories, and those happened actually – back-to-back weeks. One of those teams, guess who they were?
Philly Eagles.
The Philadelphia Eagles. And the other one was, of course, the then 22-0 on a run New England Patriots in back-to-back weeks.
Weren't you in there?
I was in there.
Okay, that's right. Yeah. I just want to throw that in there. You had some of the mojo going.
Yeah, exactly. I took Javon Kurse out that game.
Okay.
He still doesn't forgive me for that. Gator on Gator crime. But I was like, hey, listen, I was trying to win a job, bud.
these things happen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, these things happen on big jobs like this, right?
Yep. Yeah. That's exactly what Mike Webster said.
You'll have that on
big jobs like this.
See? Boom. And then the third victory was Mark Sanchez back in 2009 going up against the undefeated Colts. Of course, like week 15 of the season, they're resting. They've already secured the one seed already. And so he secured the third victory. So, once again, not unlikely by any stretch of the imagination, because it has been done in the past. And we do have mojo on our side.
Right.
Right? from the previous quarterback.
Yep.
So you just wonder if that can also bode well and help the Steelers out come Sunday. But I wanted to throw that little interesting nugget out there for anybody playing trivia games later on. There you go. You have your answer. If somebody comes up with the last time, you know, the undefeated Eagles were beaten by a rookie quarterback, boom, you can say, well, our very last quarterback.
Okay,
the
so
reason why he beat them, he we didn't have any rookies after that.
Right. So what we need is Big Ben to bless Kenny. There you go. All right? You
gotta exactly.
Say, all right, you got to put good mojo towards him. That'll do it.
Exactly. He needs to do it on his podcast too. No, just throw some holy water at his microphone. You know, no, but Wolf, let's dive into this.
Okay, let's do
offense. Where do you want to start? Do we want to go out? Do we want to work outside in? Do we want to work inside out? Back to front? Where do you want to go?
Let's go inside out.
Okay. O-line.
Yes, this is a
That's
good offensive
right.
line.
Yes, this
Boy,
is a
this good is offensive
a,
line.
It's a very good offensive line, and whew, okay. So, for said aforementioned offensive line, you have a guy who rivals me in height, weight, but definitely not in singing prowess. at the left tackle, that's Jordan Mailata, seventh rounder from 2018. He was an international player, pathway player, that had never played organized football. He was a rugby player.
Isn't that amazing?
Down under. Down under, mate.
365. My gosh, yes.
Yeah, and he is a massive human being that is nasty as well. I mean, he's athletic and he's nasty. I mean, the combination that you love when it's on your side, hate when you have to look across from it.
Mm-hmm.
Then next to him is a second-round pick in Landon Dickerson.
Now, don't forget you.
Left guard.
Okay, hold on. Think about this. Jordan Mailata was actually on The Masked Singer. I mean, think about that. To me, that's like, I don't even know how to begin. It's like having a Yeti be on, you know, on a game show. You know, it's like,
yeah.
It's crazy.
It's like Bigfoot hiding in the woods. You know, it's you're just like, well,
does
I didn't
Bigfoot
expect
really
that.
Sing?
Who knows? We'll never know.
Yeah,
I mean,
true.
I keep watching the Finding Sasquatch shows, and nobody's found them yet. They found a lot of fake prints and stuff, and
isn't that amazing that you still can't find something out there yet? You know,
I mean, all this technology, LIDAR, RIDAR, radar, SADAR. I mean, we have all this stuff, right?
Right.
Why can't we can't find Bigfoot?
This guy is so
we can't find Bigfoot.
How can you not see how can you not find something that's 8 foot, 10 foot tall, something like that, and 700-800 pounds, as they say?
Full of hair.
Full of hair. Yeah.
Full of hair. I mean, come on. I mean we then again, we also don't know it's 70% of our ocean, so
okay.
we've not explored the depths of those. So Bigfoot, Nessie, the Loch Ness Monster, and, of course, the rest of the ocean, we still don't know about. I mean, we can't even get to the depth. Because, you know, that little fish with the little light thing, the bioluminescence thing,
right,
the dangler?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't seen what's below that. Like, that's as far as we've gone. And that's still another, you know, couple of 100 feet down to go or 1,000 feet to go below that. Because light can't penetrate, so we have a tough time getting down there.
Let me tell you, let me throw this at you, Max, because you just kind of stimulated the conspiracist in me. Did you ever hear the Philadelphia experiment? You know, when the supposed
movie.
Yeah, the movie. Yeah, but it supposedly was something that really happened with Albert Einstein and Tesla being involved with the U.S. Navy. Huh? How about that one? You know, what they were trying to do was degauss or demagnetize a ship because, you know, the Nazis had put out magnetic, bombs in the ocean there that would, you know, be drawn to the ship,
yeah.
And they blow up the ships. So they were trying to demagnetize them or whatever, and they disappeared. You know, and the whole ship in the Philadelphia shipyard was supposedly disappeared, went invisible for a little while. Now, what do you think about that one, huh?
I believe that because Roswell, New Mexico.
Oh,
that's all I'm saying.
I see you're another with the tinfoil cap type guys.
There we go. Yeah. Hey, listen, stranger things have happened. I just watched a SpaceX launch from California show up, you know, as I'm in the parking lot with my daughter trying to find her jeans. So, you know, I definitely am up there. I mean, and it was crazy, the launch angle and everything. I mean, I took a video. I'll send it to you, Wolf. But it was just crazy. My daughter's like, are there aliens? I'm like, no, it's a different – it'd be coming in a different direction. Top to bottom, if it was an invasion, we're sending stuff away. So it's ground to sky. It was a whole thing. But
we'll have to break out the Philadelphia experiment some other time.
Yeah. We'll break that one out a little bit later. But you know, I was just kind of going through just, you know,
right.
This offensive line, just kind of the dimensions. I mean, you already said 6'8", 365 for Jordan Mailata. Landon Dickerson, guy they drafted last year, 6'6", 332 pounds. So right there on that side of the ball, you don't have to ask where's the beef. There is the beef.
Yeah. There's the beef, all right.
Yeah. And then, of course, in the center position, everybody knows his brother. He's the shorter, stubbier version of him. Jason Kelce.
Yeah.
At center position. You know, been doing it since 2011.
It's amazing. He is, 12-year guy.
And he has an impressive beard, too.
He does. That's a good-looking beard.
He has a really good manicured beard for a man of his grizzled age, but 6'3", 295, so smaller. The fact that we're calling 295 a lightweight on this offensive line
tells you how big they are.
Exactly. Then we move to the right guard position, and you have Isaac Sumalo, who is 6'4", 303 pounds.
He's a lightweight kind of.
Yeah, he's a smaller, yeah. But he's bigger than Jason.
Yep.
At that guard position, very physical, squatty guy. And then, of course, if he can go, it's Lane Johnson.
They say he went yesterday. The latest.
He went full go? He went full go?
He was full go. That's what I hear.
Well, there it is.
To crack.
Yeah, 6'6", 325. He has no hair. So, Wolf, he is in the no hair club for men with you.
Yes.
He's one of the class of the league when it comes to right tackle play.
Think about this.
Big, physical, nasty.
He hasn't allowed a quarterback hit since week 7 last year against the Raiders. That was the only hit he allowed. And he hasn't allowed a sack since October 21st, 2019 versus Dallas. So that tells you a little bit about Lane Johnson.
Yeah, so it's the lanes are clogged up by
Lane clogs the lanes, yeah.
Yes, Lane does clog the lanes. But that's the starting offensive line. I mean, Where do you want to dive in, Wolf? You know, the kiddie pool is nice and warm.
I know. And it's like you look at the Jordan Mailata. I mean, he just leans on you and that hurts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
These guys are very physical and they move people and they position block very, very well. You know, the NFL has gone more and more to that sort of position blocking. You know, you gain that inside, outside position, whatever it is. Like Jason Kelce, sometimes he just hops around the guys. He snaps and hops, you know, around, yeah. You know, and just positions his body in between where the ball carrier is running and the defensive man. And then he just stands in place and uses his lower body leverage to be able to wall his man off. And he does a pretty good job of it.
Yeah, no, he does a good job. And then I think also when you have Sumalo and Dickerson there, you know, I think they're double team inside zone game,
yes,
and man game. It bodes well because you have Jason Kelce, who kind of has a wrestling background,
yep,
who comes in and uses those leverage angles, and then you have the bigger bodies that can come knock guys over so that Jason can either overtake or move up to the second level. So it's something that I think, you know, is a daunting task. Like, you're going to have to move on these guys. You can't stay stationary and let them pick and hit you. You're going to have to make the moving targets. And that comes from slants and twists to be able to free up some of the guys. But you got to still stay gap discipline. I'm going to say it again and again. Gap discipline, no hero ball.
No.
If you're the defense, and you've got to play your keys, and you got to force flow to those linebackers, Miles Jack, Devin Bush, Robert Spillane. Like, they know what they're doing, and they're darn good at what they do. So let them be the free scraper and let them kind of have the instinctual abilities. But as a D-line, you know, you want to make the play, more all intents and purposes, But make sure you hone down the basics, which is securing your gap, defending your gap first before you decide to play hero ball.
No question about it. I mean, you know, we're gonna see a lot of mush rush. This is gonna be difficult for a lot of guys this week. You know, because of the fact Jalen Hurts is very competent in running with the ball, unlike Tua, which was surprising to me. But, you know, you got Jalen Hurts is able to, you know, he's rushed for 6 touchdowns. He's thrown for 6. He's a guy that, you know, playing the RPO, he's truly one of those triple threat guys. And so the mush rush is going to take something out of the guys, because this is a lot of mushing against some very heavy people. So that's going to be problematic. Yeah. And let me just say this too. You know, they run so many RPOs. I mean, you got to get your hands up. You got to try to make them throw into that secondary window on the RPOs, and that's going to be difficult, because there's, again, the process of getting after and burying your head in a 6'8", 365-pound Jordan Mailata. I mean, gadzooks, that's going to be that'll suck the wind out of you.
And that's why I think slanting is where you have to kind of get them off kilter, right? You got to make a move laterally in space. Even as athletic as we talk about Lane Johnson and Jordan Mailata being, that's still everybody's kryptonite as an offensive lineman, right? It's the
There's no question,
movement.
But you know what that does, too, in opening areas, too. So it's a gamble.
It is a gamble, and that's where I think the run-fill lanes are key, right?
Right.
You know, if you're getting them going with the defensive line going laterally, linebackers now have to be in tune, right? You have to make sure edges are set so that Jalen cannot get to the outside.
Yep.
That's the other thing. If you're going to rush that wide and play it, you've also got to play inside. You got to play outside in.
Absolutely.
To squeeze everything and keep him in the pocket. He is very elusive, but I'll tell you what, he is way more dangerous when he gets an edge, like Lamar Jackson.
He is indeed.
He is way more skilled at hurting you when he is outside of that tackle box and he's gained the outside leverage. That's why I think you still have to do that. You can't rush past the guy, though. Here's my one thing, and this is for Alex Highsmith. This is for anybody rushing on the outside, Malik Reed and company, even Cam. You have to get to depth and go straight horizontal, right?
You can't push up the depth.
Yeah. Cannot ride high on him, and you also can't take that quick knife move, because then they'll just ride it out, and guess what you've done? You've now created a lane for Jalen Hurts to escape out of the pocket.
Who now has the edge?
Even more dangerous. He now has your edge.
You know what? Let's take a break, Mac, just because Max, because of the fact that I want to explore this a little bit more. Okay, you're onto some good stuff here.
All right, sounds good. We'll step aside for 1 minute. Well, 5 of those minutes. so 5 times 1. Here in the locker
Math
room.
Skills.
I know, exactly.
Sesame
Street. I gotta go back with the count. 1, two, no.
count.
But no, we'll continue to do the scouting report. We're now breaking down the Philly offense here in the locker room on SNR and ESPN Radio.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
The last 2 weeks give you guys a reassurance after that Buffalo game?
Yeah, I think, you know, we came out and did a good job. You know, in the day, there's still, you know, more points on the board than we wanted, so there's always room for improvement and always room to get better. But I think, you know, we progressed the past 2 games, you know, from that Buffalo game. And so and we just know the guys that we have, and we know the type of defense we can be. We just got to continue to start to practice every week. It starts to practice today, and we just got to continue to work at it and be our best selves.
We're winding up the scouting report here today, and, of course, the Steelers take on the Philly Eagles 1 o'clock Sunday in Philadelphia. Max, I'm disappointed, but I'm glad for you, because I know you're not coming, because on account of you made a promise to your little gal, and that's what dads do.
No, that is exactly what it is. So my oldest child, my baby girl, I'm still going to call her my baby girl.
Yeah, she's always going to be your baby girl,
let me tell you. Waverly, who was born in Pittsburgh.
By the way, my 30-plus year old daughter Megan, who you know, all right?
Yeah,
I still call her my baby girl. Okay.
Yeah, you know,
she's a mom of four, you know, but she's my baby girl, you know?
Exactly.
One of the three, you know?
It's like, listen, it's still my baby. Now, she has babies, and she's now, she'll now pick her own babies, but as far as it goes for me, like, you'll always be my little baby girl.
There you go.
And so Waverly turns 10 this weekend, and so she asked me for her birthday gift if Daddy could not work. So that I could be at her 10th birthday
party. Exactly the way it goes. Yeah,
exactly. And there's nothing you can say to that.
No,
listen, and I'm not, I love my family, Wolf, and you do. Right. I mean, there's nothing you wouldn't do for your kids in the mountains if you have to. But, when she asked for that, I was like, done. No questions asked. I was like, this boss is going to have to understand. My daughter asked, and it is a special milestone too. It's 10. She's turning into double digits. This is her last day as a 9-year-old.
Yeah, there you go.
And it's one of those things that's just crazy to me. But so I will be missing, but I will be watching intently on the televisor on Sunday. Everybody knows, just leave me alone when they come over for brunch, because we have a bunch of friends and family flying in from out of town.
Oh, good.
Once it hits 10 o'clock, just leave me alone. Just eat the food, hang out. I've got three hours,
13 minutes. Yeah, somewhere around
exactly.
There.
We could talk during commercial breaks. We can talk during commercial breaks. Full conversation during commercial breaks.
All right, we want to wind this up. All right, and by the way, best wishes on the birthday to your little girl. She's just
all right.
So
thank you.
One of the critical moments that's going to occur this weekend is tackling the mesh point. You know, whether it's RPOs or it's the run option, the read option. It doesn't matter to me. To me, RPOs, read options, they're basically the same thing. Only one has two options, one has three. Basically, you know what I mean. So as I look at this, it's about are at the mesh point. And I think the Steelers are uniquely positioned to be able to do this, to defend this, because of the fact you've had to play against Lamar Jackson and that offense all the time. The Steelers are, 2-3 or something like that against them? I can't even remember. But anyhow, the point being is they've seen this. They've worked against it. They know what it is. And they're going to have to, judicious use of run blitzes in there. You're going to have to do that. You got to make sure you got communication between the end man on the line and the inside linebackers, all these things, but I think the Steelers really have an ability, having had history in seeing it and playing against it and winning against it, that they can do a good job against Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I think that does bode well, right? It's not like we haven't seen this. We experience this every year in the division with a guy who has a similar skill set. So it should not be, oh my gosh, we have to combat this because we never see this. All we see is pocket passers. No. We've seen it. We've also seen it already this season with Zach Wilson.
Right. Yes.
Zach Wilson had a lot of similar things. So you can learn from some of your mistakes in that game and bring those into this game. And that's one of the things that, I learned, and what I talk about is rushing to depth and then pushing in.
Right.
Right. Like parallel, do not go beyond, do not cut it short, come right to that depth and then work in towards Jalen Hurts, create a vice grip around him, because if you give him space or you make the wrong decision, he will leak out and then it will hurt a lot worse. And especially when you're talking about the mesh point in the run game, Miles Sanders will also make you pay if you're anticipating one over
Absolutely.
The other instead of playing complementary support football. Like if I'm the first guy in, I attack the quarterback. Guy scraping over the top of that first guy, he has a running back. And so you have to be very disciplined on that.
Exactly so. We're down to our last minute. Max, I hope you and Waverly, right? That's the one that's
yep. –
Yep. Have a very happy birthday. And I know it'll be Go Steelers. And, my friend, take it home.
All right. Well, I have to give us a hearty here we go. But, miss any of our shows, please feel free to go download any of them. Down on the Steelers mobile app, iHeartRadio app, and all the other podcasting platforms. You can catch In the Locker Room, the one you're listening to now, broken down into even hour segments, as well as The Standard with Tom and Jacob, Steelers Blitz with Wes and Motes, as well as The Godfather, Wesley on a solo project, doing multiple hats. previews and also look-aheads. And then, of course, coming up this Sunday, Bob Labriola, Mike Tomlin on the Steelers Game Day podcast. Don't miss it. Coach Tomlin is going to drop some nuggets and some gems and some things to watch as you get ready for the action at 1 o'clock out there at the Link in Philly. Wolf, safe travels to you, Billy, and Missy. And we will talk on Monday reaction to hopefully Steelers victory. Take care, my friend. Have a great weekend, Steelers Nation. We're out.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. On sale now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.